We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Sports Radio WEEI. Bruins have a chance to close things out tonight. You all right there, pal?
I'm great.
I thought you broke something over there.
No, it's
just I just
chairs.
Didn't want it to be you.
It's just shared. I'm good.
It's game day.
It's game day.
Bring out the sweep.
Bruins.
Brooms.
By the way, the PNC Arena put out a cute little tweet yesterday.
Did they?
Said, just a public service announcement. In the interest of public safety, brooms will not be allowed in the arena tomorrow night.
That's a message to all Bruins fans, clearly, who are down there.
Do you think?
Yeah, I would say so. This thing's over. This thing is over. It was over before it started. I don't know how Carolina made it this far. They don't even look like a playoff team, let alone a Eastern Conference finalist. That is really bizarre. If I ever get some spare time, maybe I'll go back and watch the Islanders series again.
Yeah.
Because I don't know how this team beat another playoff team. It's shocking. And I'm not taking anything away from the Bruins because they've played great in the postseason. Toronto was a real team.
Tuca especially.
Columbus was a real team. Tuca was out of his mind in the first period in game three. So I'm not taking anything away from the Bruins. But Carolina stinks. Like, I don't know what they do well. And through three games, they have not swayed my opinion.
Tuukka Rask, in his last 12 playoff games, is 9-3, 1.69 goals against average, 946 save percentage.
And he's doing it just so smoothly, too. Like, he never looks like he's out of position. He's just, if you're Carolina, you got to be losing your mind. Like,
he
put
20 said,
shots on in the first period. What do you do?
He said he made a couple of saves in the first period on Tuesday. He didn't see the puck. Like, one was a glove save.
The glove save,
he just had his glove in the correct position, by the way. Had it where it should be, never saw the shot. Shot goes directly into the glove.
And on the broadcast, that's when Brian Boucher said, well, when it's going good, it's going good. Because you could see he was kind of screened a little bit. He had the glove in the right spot. And the only reason why he probably even closed it is because he could feel the force of the puck going in there. That one was pretty crazy. But he had some great pad saves in the game. And he is just, he's been their best player throughout this entire postseason run so far.
There will be one lineup change for the Bruins. Nola Chari will go in. Chris Wagner obviously out after he blocked that shot with his hand, wrist, forearm area in the game on Tuesday. The Bruins said they sent him back to Boston for further tests. They haven't announced anything. Perhaps when Bruce Cassidy meets with the media at 1 today, he'll make it official, but it sort of sounds like he's done for this postseason.
Yeah, unfortunately. And, you know, all four lines have been good for him because, you know, a lot of times if you lose a fourth liner, you say, all right, next guy, whatever. Good news for them is at least the next guy has been a part of the season, part of that line for most of the year.
Has been a strong part of
that line. Been good. So they shouldn't drop off too much, even though, again, it sucks. Wagner was the one that scored the first goal last game, and, you know, he ends up leaving the game with an injury and likely the rest of the postseason.
The other thing from the NHL's perspective, and it reared its ugly head yet again last night, was officiating problems. You had four officials last night who did not see a clear hand pass that led directly to the game-winning goal in overtime for the San Jose Sharks. Andy Strickland, who covers the NHL in St. Louis, I think? Fox Sports Midwest, yes. Covers the St. Louis Blues. He said NHL referees make $23,000 per round in the Stanley Cup playoffs. He said, you can safely assume the four officials working last night's game will not work another playoff game this year.
Yeah, they shouldn't. You missed it. You missed such a key call in overtime. So if you missed it last night, Sharks and Blues go into overtime. Sharks have the puck down in the St. Louis end. There's a blatant hand pass, which has then led to one guy on the Sharks who passes it over, then, boom, scores the game winner, and it's over. They can't review it. All four of the officials on the ice all missed it. So they got screwed. The Blues got absolutely screwed. We don't know if they definitely would have won the game or whatever, but they got absolutely screwed, and it's just been time and time again throughout the postseason. And it's stupid stuff like that, too. Like, it's one thing if, hey, you know, that was a roughing call, shouldn't have been a roughing call, whatever, but the goalie interference thing, I don't think any of the refs know what they're doing. We don't know what it is. They don't know what it is. You got the puck off the net in Columbus, which led to a goal. You know, thankfully, it didn't come back to bite the Bruins. This one did, though. This directly impacted the outcome of the game. Also, go back to the Sharks getting the benefit of the call against Vegas. That might have been the most glaring one.
In Game 7.
When they got all the million of they had the power play forever, and they scored a million goals
on it. Only four.
That's insane, and that should not have been that call. Like, it shouldn't have been a major penalty. So, a couple of things there. One, the refs have been a real issue throughout the playoffs. The other thing is it seems like the Sharks are really getting some calls, and that might be the only way the Bruins lose the cup. The Bruins are the best team that's left, but if they get screwed the way St. Louis did or the way Vegas did, then it's going to be hard to win.
As Strickland points out, the four officials who worked last night's game, they're considered among the best in the league. All four have worked Stanley Cup final games in the past. Johnny Murray, who is one of the two linesmen, is generally considered the best linesman in the NHL. You had four guys who are all good at what they do.
Yeah.
And they all four screwed it up.
But I also blame the league for it, too, because if those four
guys
missed it...
They could have fixed that one, couldn't they?
How is that not reviewable? How do you not take a quick peek and say, oh, very clearly a hand pass, no goal, keep the overtime going? Like, that's also on them. Like, I do blame the refs. Like, they got to do a better job than that. But the league is kind of putting them in a bad spot. Like, you can replay certain things, but not, in this case, the game-deciding play you can't take a look at. So that needs to be changed.
And they probably won't. They should.
You don't think so?
No, they have to.
No, they will, right?
Yes. I mean, they'll talk about it. But remember, these are the same GMs who put in specifically, no, you can't review that. We don't want to slow the game down. We don't want to be taking time away from the game. The puck that went off the net, back onto the ice, Columbus gets it, makes a pass, puts it in the net. Everybody knows it can't count, but sorry, we're not going to review that because we're not allowed to.
I feel like, and maybe I just have a bad memory, but we're talking about the refs and calls and replays more this postseason than last postseason. And maybe we're just keeping up with it more because the Bruins advanced further. I don't know. But I feel like there's been way more conversation about terrible calls or potential rule changes this year than any other year, at least in recent memory. And so I think they definitely have to take a look at it because the way things are going, it is going to directly impact a Stanley Cup game where all eyes are going to be on
it. Or a cup clinching. Can you imagine?
Sure. Yeah, why wouldn't
Tuukka
it?
As Tuukka said after that stupid non-call in the Columbus series, what if that happens in overtime of Game 7?
Yeah, but
and everybody
guys,
on the planet knows it can't count,
right.
Just like last night. Everybody knows it can't count. But sorry, we don't have the ability to fix that.
Now, this wasn't a Game 7, but still, you're talking Game 3 of an even series in the conference final. You know, it's almost, you know, like the Saints and Rams. It's not as bad as that play, but it's in the same ballpark. This is a pretty significant game for St. Louis. They now go down in the series on a play that really shouldn't have stood.
Now, did the NFL, and they addressed because of the Rams-Saints thing. The Rams-Saints play.
Yeah.
They addressed it, but not completely.
Yeah, no, there's still sort of a gray area, I believe, on that one. But they at least talked about it. They're trying to figure it out. And I think that's what the NHL is going to have to do. And it's really not going to delay things that much. And what makes the NHL look so stupid is the offsides replays that they do, which are asinine. And then now you have these ones that are very obvious, like a quick call. And it's not even like a judgment thing. Like the goalie interference... probably more difficult because they don't even know what it is in live time.
I mean,
that one's a little trickier. But these ones, I don't know how you don't have something in place because it's pretty cut and dry.
Now, by the way, neither of us think that nobody's on the take. They're not out to
Tim
screw
Donaghy,
the Blues.
No, I don't think so.
You know, the NHL isn't trying to make sure that Joe Thornton gets a chance to win a cup before he retires. None of that stuff. It is simple incompetence that was involved last night. You had four officials. And by the way, How are none of the four officials looking at the puck?
You'd think that would be kind of like a key. Like, I've never reffed an NHL playoff game, but I'd kind of keep my head on a swivel out there. I'd be looking at the puck. And it was also, like, right in front of the net. So if you're looking for, I don't know, goalie interference, if you're looking for any kind of thing, your eyes would be in that direction.
See, the puck
and
off
he didn't
the
like
net.
Hide it either. He's like, catch,
I know.
Throw.
Well, the puck off the net, I could almost say, all right, they didn't see that.
Maybe.
I mean, I still think they should have. But how do four guys not see a hand pass from Meyer that leads directly to the Erik Karlsson goal that ends the game?
And the later we go into the postseason with calls like this, just the worse and worse it looks for the league.
Oh.
You know, I mean, this is... this is it. These are your best team. Well, I don't know about Carolina being the best team, but these are the four teams that are left. And if you have plays like this that are determining winners, that's just a real problem.
All right, let's get back to the call. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Mark's in Medford. Hey, Mark.
Hey, Dill.
Yes, sir.
In all your years of covering hockey and calling games, how many times have you seen a puck just hit a person's glove and it goes to his teammate and they blow it dead?
Yes, I mean, clearly.
Okay, all right. Well, according to the rule, I guess, from what I heard last night, it's to the referee's discretion or whether the player deliberately...
No.
Yeah, but that's what they read.
No, but that wasn't the problem last night. You had four officials, all of whom said they didn't see it.
Exactly, but they read the rule anyway. So apparently, over the last 30 or some odd years or whatever, the referees have been making that call the wrong way. Because apparently, it could go off your glove and go to a teammate, as long as it wasn't deliberately directed by the glove towards the teammate. That was how it was explained to me. But I've seen so many plays called dead after a puck hit somebody in the glove, and it just happened to land on the teammate's stick, and they call it dead. And for them to not even see that last night, that is just a disgrace, okay? And one more thing I want to add. I heard a stat this morning. I don't know how accurate it is, if you guys can look it up. But I believe San Jose is 4-0 when Joannette has refereed this year in the playoffs.
Yeah, but you
I
can,
wouldn't
you,
doubt
you,
it.
You can find
you can
those.
You can cherry pick certain stats.
You can find, and I'm sure that I used to keep these stats, and then I realized it was just ridiculous to keep them.
Yeah.
You'll find some referee that the Bruins have had a great record against and another referee that they haven't. Listen, for me to give credence to the statistic, I'd have to think that he was on the take or he was in on this thing. I think he just missed the call.
Well, also, 4-0 is not that big. Like, once that number continues to grow, maybe
right.
I'll give you a little something. There's something there. But also, this is a team that is, what, they're 10-7 in the playoffs, I think, something like that. I mean, obviously, they have a winning record. They're still playing, and
sure.
They're up 2-1. But there's more wins than losses anyway, so if they happen to get four of their wins, I'm not going to freak out over that.
Dave's on the cell phone. Hey, David.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
What's going on?
Just picking up on what you just said in the last couple of minutes about the four referees, were they all blind? Mm. That's number one. And number two, all goals should be reviewed. It only takes a few seconds for them to get it right, just like in football.
Yeah, that seems like the simple solution. I'm with you, Dave. They should. And even if they wanted to say, hey, we're just doing it in the playoffs and we're not going to do it in the regular season, whatever. That, I guess, you know, maybe one day they'll do it in the regular season. But playoffs, it needs to be done. Yeah.
It needs to be done. The net, too. That's out of bounds. If there's no net, that's in the crowd. How can you miss that? There's four refs. Four.
Right. And then somebody on the ice always sees it. And you can just be like, hey, take a look at this. And some of them are so glaring that this would...
Oh, look out.
Get after you. It would take you 10 seconds, right? You skate over. You're like, oh, that hit a guy or that hit a thing or whatever.
It would be the quickest review in the history of hockey.
So it can't be the excuse for not having it in there can't be, oh, it's going to delay the game so much. Like that, you got to get these things right.
If that's what, look, I'm almost at the point where I just soon do away with review because
yeah,
it's so frustrating
yet.
For fans. Just get rid of it. You know what? Screw it. If we make a mistake, we make a mistake. But now you're not sitting here harping about, hey, they could fix that. Nope, we can't fix it.
Yeah, see, I think because we have the technology, you just need to have the proper rules in place as far as what's reviewable, what isn't. I don't need to be going back 5 minutes and looking to see if some guy's skate was barely offside. I don't need that. But if I need a quick replay to prove that there was a hand pass, that should be allowed. They just need to make major changes to the replay. They don't need to eliminate it.
Somebody made a suggestion about the offside review.
Yeah.
If you're going to have it, you can only review it real time.
Oh, yeah, that's fair,
too. You can't review it, you know, with hyper slow-mo stop action. Oh, look, his skate lace is just off.
Well, that's the fear with, like, pass interference. Like, pass interference, when they're reviewing that now, slow-mo, everything looks like pass interference. There's a little bit of contact every time down the field. There's not supposed to be, but there is. And so that could get out of hand this upcoming football season.
Jeff's in New Hampshire. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, how you doing?
What's going on?
All these calls, you know, we talk about it, but I think the reviews, we have to pick it out and say, all right, what's reviewable, what's not reviewable, you know?
Right.
As the previous caller said, and I play organized hockey most of my life.
Good.
I was a goalie.
Nice.
So I'm in Denver. Anyway, I think it's only fair, you know, they have the offsides reviewable now. and they take goals away. I mean, no matter what it is, I think the other caller previous a minute ago made a good point about directing it with the hand. Now, these things don't happen all that often. We're not talking about things that happen. They're common and they happen a lot. These things only happen maybe a few times in a game, if that.
Oh, so absolutely. Yeah, I'm with you on that. Right.
So hang on. So why not make them reviewable, okay? It's only fair to do that, as in last night
on a hand pass
when four refs.
Right.
And I didn't have four refs when I played.
How many of you guys have?
The bottom line is they have four refs now. There's no excuse that these guys missed it. And you know what? Make it reviewable and take the goal away. These are the playoffs.
Think about the pressure that the refs in your games had.
Huge.
One or two guys. That's not nearly enough set of eyeballs out there.
Can you imagine the pressure you feel if you're an official in Wiggy's Beer League?
Oh, my God.
I mean, have him
those
mad
guys
at you.
They'll be chewing your ear off. That's the last thing you want.
Wiggy especially would be chewing your ear off.
But they should review.
By the way, do you think Wiggy's ever committed an infraction?
No.
Ever?
I bet he's been called for a few.
No. I bet has he ever, in his mind, has he ever committed an infraction?
No, he's like Jason Tatum.
Yeah.
He's like all these guys in the NBA that never fouled anybody and always get fouled. I bet that's kind of what it is. But yeah, I think it's really simple. And again, how many goals have been scored this postseason? A million. How many goals have really been under this kind of question? Only a couple, but that's the point.
But they're the critical ones.
Yes, right.
Ask St. Louis if last night's goal was critical. And to your point, if they get the call right, maybe San Jose wins in overtime.
At least you feel better about it.
But you know you lost because of a botched call.
Yes, yes.
Chuck's in Braintree. Hey, Chuck, how you doing?
Man, guys, thanks for taking my call. You know, I look back on the history of sports. I look at, Don Dankinger and Todd Worrell. I look back and I see what happened to the Saints. I look what happened with Galarraga with pitching that perfect game. Yeah. But what about Brett Hull in the crease? Talk about Mr. St. Louis. I mean, there's one that the refs blew as well. I think what's going on in this series, guys, I think it's all fixed. And I think it's all rigged. I think what happened was they came out with a penalty against Tuukka Rask. And they couldn't score. Carolina couldn't score. So what do? They put a 3-on-5 advantage, and they still couldn't score. What's the next thing you're going to do? Tie his glove behind his back and maybe put a patch on one eye?
Could be.
Ooh,
pirate goalie. I love that.
That'd be the best.
I even thought of pirate goalie.
So, Chuck, all joking aside, you actually think it's rigged?
What I think is this, and I sincerely believe this. I think that the commissioner of each league sits down and says, hey, guys, I'm tired of Marchand and the way he's clutching. This can't stop. He's hooking. You got to stop it. I think the same thing that happens with football. They say, hey, the Patriots are clutching and grabbing within the first 5 yards. You got to call it. This pitcher here, he's always, complaining about this, that, and the other thing. I think that the head of the officiating for each league does tell different umpiring crews, I'm tired of this. Let's call it. And I think what happens is it turns these games into longer series. Because every single game has what? Millions of dollars on the line. And I think as long as you can extend the series, you keep it rocking and rolling. If the Bruins wrap this series up tonight, and then there would be basically almost no hockey left for a week, and they want to stop that from happening.
Yeah, I'm all about these conspiracy theories.
You have to believe that the officials will try to ensure that Carolina wins tonight.
But how do you explain the
sweeps?
And they
play game five.
Like, how do you explain
you just
Carolina,
had a couple of them.
The Islanders, Columbus over Tampa? How do you explain those? That's the problem. Because I know a lot of people, more people feel the NBA is rigged compared to the NHL.
Because you've had an example of somebody who clearly did rig it.
You had a really dirty ref, there's no doubt. And there's been, unfortunately,
playoff games. As far as I know, there's been nothing like that in the NHL.
No.
That you can point to and say, oh, remember that guy?
But what I am confident in is the Blues will get a couple of calls, makeup calls, in Game 4 because of what happened in Game 3. I know it's going to be different refs. But I think just part of them, and maybe it's not going to be over-the-top blatant, but I would be shocked if the Sharks had more power play opportunities than the Blues next game. They might try to even that out a little bit. But I don't think it matters what the refs do tonight. I think the Bruins are going to win regardless.
I mean,
Carolina, like the caller said, they had a 5-on-3 for 90 seconds.
And a 4-on-3, and still couldn't do anything. Mike's on the cell phone. Hey, Mike.
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing tonight?
Good.
Doing great.
Hey, can I ask a quick question, Dale, before I make my point?
Sure.
I don't know. I've tweeted at you a couple times. I know you probably get a million of them. Am I looking at this through Bruins colored glasses, or is Carolina really targeting the head on some cheap shots against the Bruins?
There have been a number of them in this series. I mean, the Justin Williams headshot on Tory Krug the other night was just the latest exhibit. Now, if it was Brad Marchand who was doing that, the National Hockey League would lose its damn mind.
Right, and to me, the even more egregious one was Dougie Hamilton cross-checking Heinen to the head right after he scored the goal. Yeah. I don't know if you saw that. But my point that I wanted to make was on the replay. I mean, I think fixing the replay across all four major sports is actually really simple, and I don't know why they haven't done it. Make everything reviewable. Keep the number of challenges the same. Keep all the rules in place where you lose a timeout if you're wrong, et cetera, et cetera. Everything is open to be challenged. Put a clock on it, whether it's 60 seconds, 90 seconds, 2 minutes, whatever the clock is. If at the end of that time a decision has not been made, the call on the field or the court or the ice stands, and that's it. And I actually argue that, especially in the NFL, it would actually speed the game up because you would see fewer frivolous challenges for a yard or two because those coaches would want to hold on to a challenge for down the stretch if there was a big play that didn't go their way.
Yeah, it works for me. I definitely want to keep replay in the game. I'm not one of these people that says, oh, I'll get rid of all of it, because it can work. You can get the calls right. They just need to fine-tune all of it. And I don't even know, like in hockey, if they're worried about the time thing. Like, I don't even know if you need a clock necessarily. It should be quick and easy.
And for some
people, earpieces, whatever you want
to
do.
Maybe some people who are new to the game or really only start watching the game in the playoffs, and that's fine. There were some people I saw who reached out to me on Twitter, on text, who said, yeah, if you look closely, the hand pass went off the leg of the St. Louis player, so the play is good. No, it's not.
No.
Even if I'm reading the rule here, rule 79-1.
There it is.
Even if it's deflected off any player or official, if it's a hand pass that goes from me to you and it goes off the leg of Rossi in between, it's still an illegal play.
Oh,
so
yeah.
So people have got it in their head, yeah, but it went off his leg, no, so it's good. No, it's not good.
That's a no goal. But they got it. They're up 2-1. They've gotten more breaks than anybody else so far this postseason.
So far, they seem to have cornered the market on breaks. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. It's Free Ticket Thursday. We've got Red Sox tickets that we'll give away in a little bit. Ray Bourque will join us at 1 o'clock. We'll talk about playing defense in the National Hockey League after the age of 40. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Dale and Keefe, but first we trend.
Wake up with Mutt and Callahan. Weekday mornings 5:30 to 10. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Roach Brothers Supermarkets, where you can find fresh flowers, desserts, brunch ingredients, and more on sale this week. Details, locations, online ordering, and delivery at roachbros.com. Bruins go for the sweep of the Hurricanes tonight in Game 4 of the Eastern Conference Finals. Puck drop at 8. Chris Wagner out. Nolan Acciari is in.
And you say it's over tonight.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
For sure. Maybe like 6-0 tonight.
Ooh.
Sharks beat the Blues 5-4 in overtime. They have a 2-1 series lead. The Red Sox needed extra innings once again, but this time they beat the Rockies 6-5 and 10. Michael Chavis with the walk-off RBI single. It's an off day for the Sox. They'll welcome the Houston Astros to town tomorrow. The Milwaukee Bucks defeated the Raptors 108-100 in Game 1. Western Conference, they'll play Game 2 tonight. Warriors and Trailblazers, Golden State up 1-0, but they will once again be without Kevin Durant. Patriots have reportedly brought back linebacker Jamie Collins, and it's Round 1 of the PGA Championship from Bethpage, New York. Brooks Koepka is
like
the
running
leader.
Running away right now.
6 under par through 14. He has a 3-shot lead over Luke List. Tiger Woods, what is Tiger Woods up to? He is even par.
He was at minus 14. 1 briefly. He's at even par now.
He got off to a tough start. I think he had a double bogey early.
And then he had an eagle on the back nine and kind of got to minus 1. But
he's had 2 double bogeys, I'm just being told.
From the
news desk. 2 double bogeys, but he is even in a tie for 15th right now.
1-7-779-7937 is the telephone number. Ray Bourque will join us at the top of the hour, and we'll talk about playing defense in the National Hockey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
League after the age of 40. There's only a couple of guys who could do that.
True.
Chris Chelios, Ray Bourque, Zdeno Chara.
Running out of names.
We're running low on names. Yep. Zdeno Chara will be playing tonight for the Boston Bruins. Celtics are not playing because, unfortunately, their season ended a little prematurely. By the way, I'm not sure that they would have done anything had they gotten past Milwaukee, but
if they beat Milwaukee, they could have beaten Toronto. I think those teams were all – Milwaukee and Toronto, I think, are pretty even. And then the Celtics should have been there. I mean, that was the thing. They weren't. Like, throughout the entire year, they weren't. They had put some stretches together where you said they should be. But if you look at the rosters of the top four teams in the East, I thought it was going to be a bit of a toss-up. And I thought it was kind of fitting, too. You know, the first year without LeBron, all of those teams should have been right there. I mean, when the year began, more people picked – the Celtics to make it to the finals than didn't, I would say. Right? Like, well, not just locally. Yeah. I think nationally they looked at it and said, oh, you're getting Kyrie and Gordon Hayward back? They should go all the way there. And they didn't. And so whether you thought the Toronto Raptors were a tougher matchup or the Bucks, either way, Milwaukee took a 1-0 series lead last night. Tough fourth quarter for the Raptors.
It sounded as though Wick Grosbeck had as much trouble watching his team at times this year as you and I did.
That's definitely true. I mean, he did an interview yesterday where he said that it was a really difficult team to love. He had a really hard time loving this team. And he's been a part, obviously, as an owner of the Celtics when they were the best team in the league, when they won a title. He's also been sitting courtside for when they are in last place and, you know, tanking for draft picks. Like he's been there for that. You know, Brad Stevens' first year was a 25-win team. Doc Rivers' year before they won the title was a 24-win team. And to say this was the toughest team to love, that is certainly quite a statement. I think it also echoes what so many of the fans had to say and how they felt about this team. So I'm with him on that. I thought it was fascinating, too, how he wouldn't answer anything on Kyrie Irving. Wouldn't talk about Kyrie Irving. And I think that has a lot to do with they don't know if he wants to be back, but they also maybe don't know yet as a group if they want him back. Now you said,
I think they do know.
As a group, I think Danny Ainge wants him back.
I'm not even sure if Ainge does at this point. Now, nobody's talked or heard from Danny since his medical issues in Milwaukee.
Right.
And as you pointed out, you know, at this point, I'm not sure how candid he could be anyway, even if he was meeting with the media right now.
So, yeah.
But I'm not sure that he does. I think his coach doesn't, in my opinion.
No way. I'm with you. No way. No way Brad Stevens wants him back.
I don't think Wick does.
No, I don't think so.
So why do I assume that Danny is the one dissenting voice in the wilderness?
Because we know he is a talent above all guy. We know that he...
I don't know about above all. I mean, talent, obviously, and in the NBA especially, it matters. But I'm not sure it's above all.
Well, for example, at the halfway point of this season, or the trade deadline at this season, the team was certainly not the favorite anymore to win the East, and they were kind of struggling. So, not that you would have traded Kyrie Irving then. I don't think you're doing that. He's your only all-star. But wouldn't you have moved on from some guys if you were worried about chemistry? Wouldn't you have dealt Terry Rozier then or Marcus Morris then?
Maybe it would, but maybe what you had decided was the guy who was the chemistry problems leaving at the end of the season anyway.
Maybe. But I also think Danny Ainge proved that he looked at a team that made it to the conference finals and he said, and people loved Isaiah Thomas. He loved Boston. Boston loved him. And he said, nope, I'm trading him. He was willing to trade him. He traded Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett. He didn't stay for those guys for another year. He, I think, wants talent above all. And it's not just as simple as, do you not want Kyrie? Then go get another guy like Kyrie. You can't.
Right.
Like the way the salary cap situation is, you can't just swap him out for Kemba Walker. So that's the other argument that I think Danny Ainge is going to have with Wick and with Brad Stevens to try to convince him. To say, hey, we need this guy because of his talent. If he's off the team next year, you're not nearly as talented on paper, but maybe they get along a little bit better. Maybe some of the guys develop more. Maybe Tatum, Brown, even Gordon Hayward are better. But I just thought it was really telling. When asked about Kyrie Irving, Wick Grosbeck said, I'm really not going to talk about specific guys except in real generalities. Kyrie's given us 2 years of strong effort. He's going to decide what he's going to do down the road. He hasn't commented publicly, so I'm going to respect that.
See, to me, publicly was the word.
Yeah.
He hasn't commented publicly, and I'm not putting words in Wick's mouth. Maybe he didn't mean this. But as I listened to that, as you read it, I'm thinking, but he's told us privately.
Because he did admit that they had a conversation. Now, he wasn't going to get into that. I don't think anybody expected him to get into that. But he did talk with him after the season has been over. And again, he goes on to say, Wick Grosbeck does, I'm not going to comment about anybody on the roster. We've got 15 guys, and we're going to evaluate all of them. And I'm not going to comment on one person and then not comment on another because it's going to send negative or positive signal. Just don't want to do it. Now, I would have to go back and dig up old Wick Grosbeck interviews, but I feel like when he's loved a player, he's been over the top in love with those players. Like Paul Pierce, for example.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Doesn't he have a Pierce jersey hanging in his locker, or in his locker, in his office?
Maybe in his locker, too.
He could. Yeah. But like he's been pretty adamant about how much he loves certain players. And again, it's not a tampering issue. Kyrie Irving is still on the Celtics. You know, this season isn't over. He hasn't opted out yet of his deal. So it's not like he's being asked about Kevin Durant and he just can't really say anything about him. I think there's a lot of things going on at play here. One, he knows the fans don't want him. So why would you say that you want him and then the fans are going to look at you and say, what the hell do you want this guy for? Also, he knows there's probably a great chance that he doesn't return. So if you say publicly, hey, I really want this guy to be here, and then he goes somewhere else, doesn't that look like a failure on your part? It looks like, oh, here we go. Superstar player doesn't want to be in Boston. And that could be also a bad look that he's trying to avoid.
It already felt like, you know, one of the most difficult off seasons in recent Celtics memory. Then the draft lottery happens and you're going, okay, great, 14, 20, 22, who cares?
Right.
You're in all likelihood not going to grab a player who's going to make a difference in your franchise. I know that there has been, you know, Antetokounmpo's.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
I understand that. But
right.
Realistically, chances are
like
that's
it.
Not going to happen.
No, it's not. And that's the other reason to say, all right, even though this guy's such a headache, maybe you have to bring him back just based off of his talent. But I don't think anything's going to change. Like, I don't want him back. And I think if Wick wanted him back, like 100% wanted him back, he doesn't say what he said yesterday. He does it a little bit differently. And maybe he's not all, you know, adamant. Maybe he doesn't go crazy about it. Maybe he's not saying, like, this is our number one priority and it's Kyrie or bust. Like, he doesn't need to go crazy about it.
But he could just say, of course we want him back. You know, we hope he stays.
How simple is that? If
you
want
felt
him back.
That way.
Yeah, but he doesn't. So that's what's amazing about it is not only will there's a real opportunity that certainly Kyrie would not accept an offer from the Celtics, but will he even get one from the Celtics? Like, that storyline, I don't think anybody could have anticipated. Sure, at the beginning of the year, you know, he said he was going to be back. But then as time went on, you got a sense that, you know, this guy's probably not going to be back. He's probably going to go to the Knicks. He's probably going to go to the Nets. Who knows? Maybe he'll even reunite with LeBron James and the Lakers. But the fact that the Celtics may not even be on that list, that is pretty wild.
You know how there are green teamers who you know, they're almost delusional with their love for their franchise?
Yes, of course. Every team has them.
They look at things with the rose-colored glasses, and you're thinking, what the hell are you talking about?
Yeah.
I might have the all-timer on the text line.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, here you go. Here's the off-season scenario for you, okay, Rich?
I'm listening.
Write it down, because this is what's going to happen.
Okay, good. Let me get my pencil.
Kevin Durant's going to opt into his contract on the condition that he's traded to the Celtics.
Okay.
The Celtics are going to trade Hayward, Rozier, and Smart with the pick to get Durant. Then they trade for Anthony Davis. Now, you have to be 8 shades of Celtic delusional to think anything like any of that's going to happen.
These guys are ridiculous!
That team, Kyrie, Durant, and Anthony Davis would be the greatest team and the worst team all wrapped up into one. They'd be amazing on the court, but those guys are all obnoxious. Each one of them is. I never knew Anthony Davis was until this year. He took it to new levels. Durant has been for a while, but they kept him kind of hidden in Oklahoma City. And now in Golden State, they haven't had a lot of things go against them. But this year, he's had some weird stuff what he's doing. And then Kyrie, that is an insufferable team. It's not going to happen, and it's also insufferable.
Now, based on the recent car wash tour,
yes,
of Terry Rozier.
Gone.
No, I'll give you that too.
Yeah.
Could you listen to that and say, you know what? Kyrie wasn't the problem. That guy was the problem.
He was a problem, I think. You know,
he's not important enough to be the problem.
Can't be, right?
Right.
You can't pin it all on the eighth guy. You just can't. Like, he may have been an issue, but there were times on the court where he's not there. So just because he's pouting or sulking on the bench, if you're Kyrie Irving or all the other guys that are on the court, you can't let that guy bring you down. Otherwise, maybe it's even a bigger issue for you if you're going to let your backup point guard kind of ruin things for you. I mean, it was all year with Terry Rozier. Now, he never demanded
a
trade.
Year, especially for me, but it ain't about me.
Well,
no, it never is.
No, unless you're on every ESPN show and you're doing it that way.
I think my problem is I care too much.
Yeah, that is a problem. See, my weaknesses are strengths. That's what it comes down to. Danny Ainge even made a joke about Terry Rozier like late in the year. He's like, maybe Terry won't be miserable now or whatever. Like,
yeah, maybe not.
Yikes. No, but what Terry proved was just how much of a disaster the whole team was. Like, he was Brad Stevens. What was interesting, too, is the Gary Washburn article in the Globe talking about how maybe Stevens needs to do things differently. It's like, we'll see. We'll see if all of a sudden we talk about players changing. Maybe a coach can change, too. He's probably going to have to if they have any more superstars again.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. We'll talk to Ray Bourque at the top of the hour. When we come back, we'll talk about the dysfunction that is the New York Football Jets. Not the Giants, but
well,
the Jets. Well, they're a mess, too. But, but a different kind of mess for the New York Jets. As we go to the break, I give you this from the Reuters White House correspondent, Steve Holland. This is where America is today, okay? He just tweeted out, Gene Simmons of Kiss, wearing black leather pants, just spotted walking toward the front door of the White House.
Get him in there.
Ladies and gentlemen,
get him in there.
America.
What the hell am I reading?
Oh, my God.
What happened?
We got a bomb.
Am I going to get aggravated?
Yes. Yes.
They traded already?
No, this is not Nick related.
Jets?
This is Jet related. What we have a bomb, folks.
Gaze is not the coach
this
anymore.
This is a statement from Christopher Johnson.
Gaze is out.
This morning, I've informed Mike McCagnan he's being relieved of his duties as the general manager of the team, effective immediately. In the interim. In
Heimerdinger.
The interim.
Heimerdinger.
Adam Gase is going to be the general manager.
What?
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 Bodego had Gaze out.
Yeah.
Had him fired.
He didn't realize Heimerdinger was out also, along with... So here's the deal. According to the reports out of New York, and the New York football media has lost its damn mind over this whole thing. Not so much that it happened. It's like, now? Really? Now?
Yeah.
And apparently, believe it or not, the origination of this divorce is Le'Veon Bell.
What?
Apparently, Mike McCagnan wanted to sign Le'Veon Bell, wanted to give him a lot of money.
And did.
And
by the
did.
Way, and did.
Well, he was the general manager.
He gets the make those calls. He was.
Adam Gase didn't want to give him anywhere close to that kind of money, if he wanted him at all. So now you got Le'Veon Bell, who apparently gets the general manager fired. Adam Gase is the new interim GM. And, oh, by the way, the interim GM is also your head coach, so best of luck getting along with him.
Who doesn't want you? Then
apparently not.
So the GM, it's maybe one thing if, like, a new GM comes in and he has a guy. You know, that happens all the time. New GM comes in, he wouldn't have signed all those contracts, but he's got to make the most of them.
Right.
But to have the head coach, to know that the head coach doesn't really want you, that is just so bizarre. And what is so dumb, I mean, it is, I guess, a classic Jets thing, or there's a lot of teams that you could say this is a classic fill-in-the-blank team. Like, if you heard that the Bills did this.
Oh, you'd say, of course they did.
You know, the Lions, somebody did this. So, they had, this offseason, the New York Jets spent, like, over $100 million. They signed C.J. Mosley, obviously Le'Veon Bell, Jamison Crowder. They had the number 3 overall pick in the draft, and they hired a new head coach. So, they did all of this in an offseason with one GM. They're getting ready for, you know, mini camps and all this these things, and they get rid of them? Like, what are you doing?
So we're trying to figure out early today when we were sitting in the office. Obviously, he doesn't have the title, quote-unquote. Nick Caserio's the general manager here, but we know Bill Belichick runs player personnel here. Now, he's the head coach, but he's also the grand poobah. He might be the only other guy who now has the kind of authority Adam Gase has. Adam Crazy Eyes Gase, who got fired by the Miami Dolphins.
Guy is something else.
Got hired by the Jets, is now in the same sort of power position that Bill Belichick is in? What?
Yeah, I don't know about that. And apparently he's good with quarterbacks, right? Like, that's what they say about him. But now he has to be good with everybody. Like, that's sort of the job now. Like, now you have to be in charge of everything. And I can't imagine, you know, we talk about players, you know, do they have respect for their coaches? And like, what have you won type of thing? And so now Adam Gase, who already got blown out of one team in the division, has to go pick up the pieces here with the Jets and now has all this responsibility on him. I mean, you could see this thing falling apart for sure. Now, I don't know how many coaches in the league, some I would say just have more input than others, right? Like, they all have input. Like, the coach on every single team. Like, Andy Reid and Pete Carroll aren't technically the GMs, but I'm sure all the decisions go through those guys, too. I mean, even Belichick technically isn't the GM, right?
But, like, it's not. But all of the decisions do go through him.
But it's not on his
like
LinkedIn.
Like, Nick Caserio can't go to Bill and say, oh, by the way, I just signed Jamie Collins. Just wanted to, if you want to put him on your whiteboard there.
Right. No, he's not doing that. But there might be a few other coaches, but they're at least guys that have been in the league a long time. This isn't like an Adam Gase situation where year one. So now he just has all that responsibility kind of dropped on him as well. Good luck. And Sam Darnold is the one guy. When you look at Darnold, Allen, and Rosen, if I had to predict one guy to be good in a couple of years, like one guy to be knocking on like a Pro Bowl, my pick would be Darnold, but we'll see. I mean, that already seems like such a mess that he's in. I don't know.
Another NFL note, and it's funny because Adam Schefter doesn't usually have to correct himself, but he did today.
There's a person more famous than Robert Kraft involved in Jupiter, Florida.
Well,
no,
he could have corrected that. He had to correct something else. He initially reported that Arizona's 8-time Pro Bowl cornerback Patrick Peterson has been suspended for the first 8 games of the season.
Oof.
Violation of the PED policy. He then had to correct it. He said, actually, 6 games. Patrick Peterson dropped his appeal. 6 games.
Oh, okay.
He'll miss the first 6 regular season games against the Lions, at Baltimore, home against the Panthers, Seahawks, at Cincinnati, home against the Falcons. He will be eligible to return October 20th at the New York Giants. But an 8-time Pro Bowl cornerback, Patrick Peterson, suspended for 6 games for violation of the PED policy.
Well, if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying, right? We've seen it here in New England. Guys like Edelman and others have been popped for it before. But yeah, 8 games, I thought that seemed like a lot. But so 6 games it is for
and
Peterson.
And according to Adam, he's already dropped his appeal.
Yeah. He's like, hey, you got me.
By the way, it will cost Peterson $3,882,352.
Hope it was worth it.
That's a lot of money even for you.
It is. I would have been upset with that. I would have had to do some digging to come up with all that.
Well, he's now been suspended for the first 6. Adam Gase is now in charge of the New York Jets, although nobody can really give an answer why. There's a lot of stuff going on in the NFL that doesn't even involve the Patriots, although they have apparently signed Jamie Collins. And
so I like that move. I like that move a lot. We'll see. I mean, we'll see what he has left in the tank.
And by the way, it was Jim McBride who reported that Collins was expected to be at Gillette today. I don't know if he's down there or not. I haven't seen any reports of that. But it was Jim McBride who reported he could be there as early as today.
He is probably the number one Patriots insider, wouldn't you say? I feel like when it comes to injuries, he's got it before anybody else.
Good as anyone at it.
Yeah. Like, there's a lot of guys that have Patriots news for sure. But I feel like breaking news when it comes to injuries or player signings, he's usually out in front of everybody else.
Former Bruins defenseman, NHL Hockey Hall of Famer Ray Bourque will join us in just a couple of minutes. Bruins and Hurricanes play game 4 tonight down in Raleigh. A Bruins win and this series is over. We'll talk to Ray about that in just a couple of minutes. Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio WEEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.